The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 10 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Call to say hello. Thank you for sponsoring Our State on the North Carolina Reading Service for so long. And now we return once again to reading Our State. I said return, but actually we're breaking the cover in a brand new issue, August 2020. And the cover has a big hunk of cheese on it. And it says, sliced, melted parrot, cheese, meet the farmers and makers of incredible local cheeses. Well, that's good. I like cheeses. I didn't know that we really had local cheeses to purchase, so this will be educational for me. Hope it is for you also. But we're going to start, as we always do, with the Welcome to Our State, which is now titled From Elizabeth. And she's called it On Grace and Goodwill. And this is by Elizabeth Hudson, the editor-in-chief. I can't say there's one perfect town in North Carolina, because there are so many I'm drawn to. Asheboro, where I grew up, will forever feel like home. Greensboro, my home now, has fantastic farmer markets and one of my favorite bakeries, Adrian and Adriana Jesus Agostino Gusto, known for their tangy sourdough bread, and warm-hearted welcomes. I settled right into Sparta one weekend, where I had a fabulous lunch at La Mexicana Grill, and the owner, who had moved to North Carolina from Spain, and his wife from Bolivia, popped over to my table during the busiest part of the day to make sure I was enjoying myself. I watched a couple move around the room, their attention focused on every diner. I've got a soft spot for Lumberton, too, made all the more meaningful to me when Melvin Morris, an artist who served as a Marine and now owns Inner Peace Center for the Arts, proudly gave me a tour of his gallery. He pointed out all the works on display, but I had to ask about the 3-foot by 4-foot oil and acrylic painting on one wall, a powerful depiction of Montford Point recruits during the era of segregation. That one is mine, Morris said modestly, and I understood then that he wanted the spotlight on his community of artists, not on himself, and I couldn't help but be filled with admiration. In Hatteras, I bowed my head as the Reverend Richard Joyner, a pastor and founder of the Cointoe Family Life Center, gave a blessing for the gathering of generations of fishermen and farmers, and we had lunch on the waterfront. I was there for the Day at the Docks celebration, a homecoming for islanders and a tribute to working watermen and women. Joyner was there as an extension of his community. He brought vegetables from the Family Life Center's garden and honey that he and the school children of Edgecombe County harvested, all for chefs to use during a seafood cook-off. He talked about the center's mission, quite simply, to make life better for his congregants, his friends, his neighbors, for everyone who calls Edgecombe County home. All around North Carolina, I see evidence of this grace and goodwill, of an outward focus of humanity. On a visit to Tarboro last summer, I stopped for lunch at On the Square, and afterward, took a walk around the 45-block historic district. From Main Street, I was within steps of at least four churches. Calvary Episcopal, with its bountiful churchyard gardens, First Baptist, Howard Memorial Presbyterian, and St. James United Methodist, the divine spaces that we hold as most welcoming of all. As I walked on, I was struck by the plethora of porches in this town. Every house I passed was fronted by an open porch that bridged between inside and outside, an intentional communal space meant for family, for neighbors, and perhaps most important, for strangers. Friendship begins right there, right? In North Carolina, I see porches like this, such as a universal symbol of hospitality, everywhere. In my hometown of Asheboro, in Southport and New Bern, in Winston-Salem and Durham and Mount Airy and Washington, and I can't help but hope if we can build them to front our homes, to create an open space for strangers, to become friends, we can surely build them to front our hearts and find ourselves that much closer to creating a better place to live. Well, now's the moment when I'm supposed to press the button on the CD player, and I was smart enough to bring a CD today, but when I opened the cover, there was nothing inside. So you'll just have to imagine the music behind my interpretation of the Our State magazine photo essay of the month. Guess what this one's about? Cheese. It says, "Cheese, please." A feast of cheeses shown on this page. Cotton Bell, Rocker's Ribiola, Redbud, and Nimble from Boxcar Handmade Cheese in Cedar Grove, and Green River Blue and Howard's Gap from Looking Glass Creamery in Fairview. In Rougemont, on the opposite page, goats graze happily in the pastures at Prodigal Farm. That's all new to me, all those names of cheeses and pretty much the places. I've heard of them, but that's about it. So this would be interesting to find out what's going on in our home state here. These pictures show cheeses sliced, and there's some raspberries sitting next to one of them. That sounds like a great combination. I see a little sprig of rosemary sitting on top of a piece of cheese, which is on top of a cracker, and right beside it another spread that has perhaps some kind of red fruit. I don't know whether it's raspberries or not. Then we have some blackberries sitting on the counter. And this is a cheese that kind of looks like a blue cheese. The outside is it actually looks like an alligator skin on the outside of this cheese, and it looks like a soft cheese on the middle, and almost like it's oozing out of the center. And there are all the goats grazing in the distance in a very hazy photo on the right-hand side. Cheese making is part art, part science, and wholly an expression of place. Meet the people and the cows, goats, and buffalo who are working magic to turn milk into a sliceable, meltable, totally irresistible taste of home. Written by Katie St. Singh. We're going to start with Prodigal Farm in Rougemont. Catherine Spann had been practicing law in New York City for more than a decade when she and her partner, Dave Crabb, visited the area in rural Durham County where Spann's family had owned land for generations. Crabb was enchanted. They soon bought a historic former tobacco farm without quite knowing what they'd do with it. But when the goats arrived to help clear the overgrowth, the pair couldn't resist their charm and curiosity. Cheese making is intrinsically a labor of love, Spann says. It's a very tactile way of being part of the cycle of nature and birth. Prodigal's award-winning cheeses tell stories of the land. When the railroad came through in 1890, the people of nearby Hunkadora thought their town needed a more dignified name. I was going to say I haven't heard of that one. So they changed it to Bahama. More than a century later, that former cheerful name suits Prodigal's sweet, tangy, ash-coated goat cheese. field of creams is lightly dusted with rosemary, juniper berries, and other herbs to evoke the woodsy things, pine needles, cedars, brambles, that their goats love to eat. Now, there's a picture of this cheese down here. There's a whole one. It's white on the outside with a little bit of gold, gold leaf, I'll say, running through it, little pattern. And then there's one on top that was cut in half, and both sides are facing us. And you can see how the cheese kind of the edge of it kind of forms a ridge and goes in very unevenly, kind of like pictures of pores on the human skin as they dip in and come back out again. Very interesting. On the opposite page, Dave Crabb and Catherine Spahn built Prodigal Farm around strong values. Their goat dairy is certified animal welfare approved, and a conservation easement ensures that their property will remain farmland forever. And here's Dave. He has a bucket, and he's trying to dump the food into perhaps an unseen trough that we can't see because there are so many goats around him, and they aren't waiting for it to get dumped out. They're just ready to jump right in that bucket. Several years ago, the DiLorettos were ready for a new adventure. Their kids were grown, and David, a family physician, had retired. Faith found a small herd of water buffalo for sale and gave them to David for his birthday. Imagine that. Now they turn milk from Audrey, pictured on the opposite side here, and her herd mates into mozzarella and gelato. And there's the couple standing here, big smiles on their face. They're really happy what they're doing. And you can see their herd behind them. And here's that very messy one, Audrey, on the right-hand side. I don't know whether Audrey just got out of a mud bath or she has a very odd coloring on her body. But it's kind of a black, I was going to say fur, is that what you call it, on a buffalo? A hair coming out all over the place, and then a lot of brownish color smeared all over it. So I think Audrey's had a roll in the mud here. Fading D Farm in Salisbury. David and Faith DiLoretto fell in love with mild, creamy mozzarella di bufala while vacationing in Italy. But when they returned home, they found that no one in North Carolina was making cheese with water buffalo's milk, the way small Italian farms have done for generations. So the DiLorettos decided to try it themselves. It was harder than they expected. American recipes for mozzarella, which call for cow's milk, are incompatible with buffalo's milk, which is naturally sweet and higher in protein and butterfat. The couple connected with a family farm in Italy, and through trial and error and translated recipes, they finally achieved cheese with the proper stretch. On Saturday mornings, the DiLorettos sell fresh mozzarella, gelato, butter, and meat in a small farm store on their 64 acres in Rowan County. Outside, their buffalo lays in the shade, as friendly and eager for attention as oversized dogs. They do have a website, FadingDFarm.com. Now, it said something about, what did it say, natural stretchiness or something like that, achieved the cheese with a proper stretch. And the picture at the top here shows three lumps of cheese, kind of out of focus, but the one in front has been stretched and pulled, and it does look like as you pull it, it really does stretch apart. And of course, when you eat a pizza or whatever, you have mozzarella cheese, you know how it strings all together, and that's what they're looking for, I guess. Oh, here's a close-up of that buffalo. Water buffalo originated in Asia and have been raised on farms in Italy for centuries. When they grow up around humans, the DiLorettos say water buffalo are gentle and easy to work with. Effie and the others know their names and come when called, especially to have their chins scratched. Well, this is a close-up, and once again, I'm going to say I think Effie's been rolling in the mud here. I don't know. It could be some kind of a skin disease, too, or something, because it doesn't look like a lot of hair here. There's some hairs sticking up on the top of the snout and the ridge of the back, but the side of the animal doesn't look particularly hairy at all. It looks like kind of what you'd expect of an elephant's skin or something like that. But there's sections which seem to have these brown patches on them. And the water buffalo itself has two horns. They come, of course, out the side. They then loop to the back, and they come around about halfway again and come to a point. And the two of them are pointing at each other over the ridge of the back of the buffalo. How about the Blue Ridge Mountain Creamery in Fairview? In an underground cave in Buncombe County, Victor Chiarizia's cow milk cheeses age anywhere from 3 months to more than a year. Chiarizia, a glassblower for 45 years, inherited a love of making things from his father, a stonemason and plasterer who emigrated from Italy. As a boy, Chiarizia would help his dad make cheese in their family home. They weren't using the finest ingredients or creating the fanciest cheeses, but making a simple mozzarella or farmer's cheese brought his father joy. Today, Chiarizia applies modern science to his cheese making, but he says, "I still have the visions of how they do it in the old country." To emulate the techniques used in France and Italy, he built his cave with stone walls. When it rains, water seeps in, fostering the growth of natural flora and imparting a taste of the Blue Ridge. Now, he's standing here in, I wouldn't say this looks underground. It looks like it's inside. It's got a poured concrete floor that's been painted red. And then there are red, they're not bricks, pavers, I'll say, of some kind on the wall that are all cemented together. There's a metal roof overhead. He's got some shelves made out of reddish wood in the back, and they've got these couple of very large rounds of cheese on the top two shelves. Next down is a much smaller one, I'd say 3.5 inches high by maybe a foot or 10 inches in diameter. And he has one in his hand, and he's looking at us. And his other hand is got behind one that's on the shelf. Now, there's a close-up here. It says, "The stone walls of Victor Chiarizia's cheese cave let in moisture, giving this Thai chili pepper cheese and others a distinctive terroir. What can we make here can't be made anywhere else." And that's what terroir is all about. It's a term that's often used for the winemaking industry, where the grapes absorb what's in that particular land right there. And just like this, he's saying the cheeses absorb the terroir that is unique to that area. This particular hunk of cheese that he's hung up has a pattern all over it. I suppose that has something to do with the way the bottom of the mold was where he put it in. It goes around in circles on the outside, and then the inside it has four kind of like wings or something that flare out in four parts. Looking Glass Creamery is in Fairview and Columbus. At an early age, Jen Perkins learned that cheese was something special. Her mother was not a showy person, but whenever she expected company, she would stock the fridge with a wheel of brie. Cheese, Jen understood, meant celebration, family, bringing people together. Years later, she became fascinated by the idea that so many different things could be done with a single raw element. She began taking classes and making cheese at home in her basement. In 2009, Jen and her husband Andy started Looking Glass Creamery in Fairview, and in 2017 moved operations into Polk County, land that's been a dairy farm since 1947. All of the milk they use comes from the cows on their farm, animals they've carefully bred to thrive on their rolling 144 acres of pasture land. And in their new, bigger cellar, the Perkinses have more room to grow and dream and make cheeses that follow the seasons. They have a website, lookingglasscheese.com. And here again, we have a shelf, and on the shelf is a block of wood for each one of the cheeses, which is piled on top. And some of them have numbers attached to them, or the boards do. I don't exactly know what the meaning, of course, that is. There's a number, and then there's something else written in parentheses underneath. And maybe those numbers pertain to the particular cow that the cheese came from, because on the right-hand side of the page, we have a cow, and it has the number 596 hanging from its ear. And this cow, it's a black and white cow. Does that make it a Guernsey? I don't know. And it is, it has a big mouthful of, I don't know what it's chewing, but it, I don't think it is the leaves from corn stalks, but that's what it looks like. It's got about six of them across, all hanging out while it looks at the cameraman, or camerawoman, as the case may be. Boxcar Handmade Cheese in Cedar Grove. By the time Austin Genke finished building a creamery on his Orange County farm in 2015, he and his sister Samantha had both spent years immersed in farming and food culture. Now Austin and his wife Danny tend the farm's goats, and Samantha turns the herd's milk plus cow's milk from local dairies into award-winning cheeses inspired by the siblings' Italian heritage. Boxcar's best-known offering, Rocket's Robbiola, is based on a type of cheese that's sometimes described as the Italian answer to French Camembert. Samantha explains, and one that's hard to find in the U.S. She and cheesemaker Alessandra Trumpio developed it together, visiting Trumpio's family in the Piedmont region of Italy, to research and recreate a taste of the elusive cheese in the North Carolina Piedmont. You want to learn more about that? Get ready for a long URL here. Boxcar, with two R's, handmadecheese.com. There are the ladies at the top, big smiles on their face. Stand at the edge of a field, and down below, boy, there is one big vat. It must be 6 feet in diameter, and one of them has some sort of a device that seems to be scraping along the top of the cheese, or perhaps whirling it around and mixing it up. It looks like some kind of a handheld pump with big blades on it underneath. On the right-hand side of the page, we have three cheeses stacked together. They all have a, I don't know what you call that on the outside when it gets hard. I'm going to call it a crust, but you know what I mean, like a brie cheese would have. Alessandra's Trumpio and Samantha Genke combine years of cheesemaking experiences to create award-winning cheeses like Cottonseed, Rocket's Robbiola, and Cotton Bell. Well, I thought they were all the same thing here. Well, the middle one is clearly different, but the top and the bottom will look the same to me. So you just have to ask them, I guess, which is which. They all look delicious and worth trying. How about Celebrity Dairy in Siler City? Fleming Fan, that's P-F-A-N-N, had never tasted goat cheese when she and her husband, Britt, moved onto a historic property in Chatham County in 1987. But when they brought in goats to help clear the land, Fleming, who is lactose intolerant, found that she could digest their milk. By 1991, their farm was a licensed goat dairy, one of the first in the state. Fleming, an artist and a home cook, learned to make cheese that she enjoyed, mild chèvre, that works well in both sweet and savory recipes, while Britt, an engineer, ran a bed and breakfast on their land. Recently, they've traded duties, contributing their strengths to different areas of the farm. And the celebrity? Well, that comes from the goats, always the stars of the show. CelebrityDairy.com. And up at the top, it says, after Silk Hope, named for the nearby town, won a national award in 2000. The fans added other mold-ripened cheeses to their repertoire. And there's a picture of the bed and breakfast here. And on the right-hand side, a picture of one of those goats. And the goat Lady Darien climax. In the Piedmont, the story of Goat Lady Derry is part of the local lore. In the mid-1980s, Ginny Tate bought an old tobacco farm in Randolph County. She'd drive around town with her two pet Nubian goats, soon earning the nickname the Goat Lady. As her herd grew, she began making goat cheese, and in 1995, her brother Steve and his wife Lee moved to North Carolina to help her start the dairy business. After Ginny's death in 2009, Goat Lady Dairy continued to grow. A few years ago, the Tates sold the business to Carrie and Bob B. Brads. They are longtime employees and neighbors, and they are pictured here. And another picture of the Goat Lady Dairy in climax, just as the Tates always did. Carrie and Bobby Brads invite visitors to the farm for monthly dinners at the dairy in the spring and fall. In a barn built of pine, oak, poplar, and cedar harvested from the property, the couple continues the Tates' mission of bringing people a little bit closer to the source of their food. GoatLadyDairy.com. Nice picture of a very nice looking barn here. It's lit from the inside, has an old pump on the outside, painted red with a nice red bucket hanging there, and a post and rail fence with some lights on it in the foreground. There's pictures of here of people dining inside. The caption says, Goat Lady Dairy's cheeses shine over five courses during dinners at the dairy organized by event coordinator Stephanie Adams. The cheese course might include Lindale, a raw goat's milk gouda. So we've got the picture of the people. We've got somebody coming out with some delicious-looking appetizers. Then we have those big cheese wheels on the shelf, and then a close-up of a table that's set with cheese samplers, all ready for somebody to come in and try them. Orman's Cheese Shop is in Charlotte. Part of the magic and mystery of cheese is the way it evolves, its flavors changing day to day, month to month, and year to year. Rachel Klebauer remembers the sheep's milk cheese that captured the attention years ago. When she first tasted it, it was young, buttery, and a little sweet. 3 weeks later, the flavors were earthier and much more developed. I thought it was amazing that it had transformed in that way, she says. In culinary school, cheese education was not part of the curriculum, so to feed her interest, she worked in a well-known cheese shop in New York City. In 2012, she jumped the chance to open her own shop in Charlotte's 7th Street Public Market. People who stopped by her case are often surprised by the great variety of cheeses that are made in North Carolina, Klebauer says. She's proud to fill her cheese case with the stories and flavors of so many local farms. Orman's, that's O-R-R-M-A-N-S, cheeseshop.com. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine, and I do hope you enjoyed it, and you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can reach at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.